Amen.
Amen. Father, we give you thanks. And Father, we bless you. And Lord, as we come to prepare our hearts right now, that you would move sovereignly in our midst. Lord, that as Pastor John brings forth the word today, that he bring it forth under the anointing, under the power, under the unction of the Holy Spirit himself. And Lord, that these words would be motivational, that they would move us, that they would inspire us, Lord, to speak up and to act for your glory. Lord, just move sovereignly now, we ask, and bless this word, we ask it, in Jesus' name, and we all said, amen.
Amen. Well, if you were here a couple weeks ago, you know that, you might remember that I spoke about our victory, the victory that we have in Christ. And last week, Bob, remember Bob with his famous shield, the shield of faith there, he talked about the fact that God always has our back. And today I want to go take it another step further and speak about how God wants us to have our confidence, to put our confidence in him, to be a confident Christian. I was shocked when had no idea what I was speaking about today, and he immediately started talking about confidence. It's just a coincidence, right? We have so many coincidences here. I'm confident that there'll be many more. So God wants us to have this confidence that no matter what we go through, that we can always continue to move forward, continue to progress in our Christian walk because of that confident attitude. And, you know, so God wants us to be a people who are always ready to do his will. You know, just always, like, right on the edge, just waiting to just step off as soon as he says, to go for his will, to walk in that victory, and to always be knowing that God does have our back. You know, he's right there with us. So God's forever searching for people who are willing to put aside their own plans, their own desires, and also deal with our own fears, face our own fears and our doubts about us, and trust in him so that we can go out and seek first the kingdom, so that we can walk in God's will, so that we can know God's heart. We want to be somebody like David. I don't see Eddie in here. I know he always loves anytime we talk about David. And I know he's around in here somewhere. He's probably checking the classrooms. When King David was a young boy, he had enough confidence to go out and kill a giant by the name of Goliath. Just a young kid. But he had that confidence that God had his back, that you know, he could do that with nothing more than a sling and a stone. And he did that because this giant not only defied Israel, but mocked God. And he stood up for God. And he was able to do this, and if you know the story of David, a lot more, because he was confident of God's love. He'd sought God's heart. He was always seeking God's heart, and he was always willing to do whatever God called him to do. God himself, in fact, testified in the Word. It says in Acts 13:22, "I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do." I want to be like that, don't you? You know, that should be our goal, to be the kind of person that God says, he's a man or a woman after my heart, and they do everything I ask them to do. I know that's not easy, but that should be our goal. That should be one of our goals, to always be wanting to do whatever God wants us to do. David became a great king. He was a mighty warrior because he put his confidence in God. And he was, because of that, he was ready to step out boldly into whatever situation he faced, whatever God called him to do, whatever God needed done. And so today I want to see how, just like David, we can move forward. We, us, you, me, can move forward with a confident expectation. It doesn't matter if we're leaving high school and going, you know, off to work, or going into college, or we're starting a new career, or we're entering into a new marriage, or we're, you know, parenting, or whether it's a new position at work, in church, serving, teaching, training, confronting evil, overcoming whatever our shortcomings are, in all those things, it doesn't matter what it is, whatever God is calling us to do, God wants us to be confident that we can do those things. That we can do them in a godly way, that we can do them to bring honor to God and to His kingdom. And there's, of course, there's going to always be obstacles. There always are obstacles. We can count on it. In this world, you will have problems. That came right out of the mouth of Jesus. So we can expect problems. We can expect obstacles. We have to deal with our own fears, our own doubts, our own lusts, our own laziness, our own greed and disappointment, discouragement. You name it. We got to deal with all those things. We have to deal with the things of the world that get in our way. You know, all the temptations, all the distractions. We have to deal with the devil. You know, we can't forget that there's a spiritual aspect to this. It's in Ephesians 6:12. It tells us that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. So we have our work cut out for us. There's no doubt about it. We got a job, and it's not an easy job. To be a good, strong, solid Christian person who's seeking first the kingdom, who's walking in confidence. But I'll tell you what, it's a way to be blessed beyond measure. It's a way to accomplish so much that you won't believe that you've done it. So where do we turn for help? Well, obviously it starts with God. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Psalm 121. God wants us to know that we can trust Him. We can put our trust in Him. Always. Always. He wants us to walk in our calling and fulfill our purpose, our destiny, with confidence. When the Apostle Paul was praying for the believers in Philippi, he said in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus. God doesn't start something for no reason. And God is not a quitter. He doesn't quit for any reason. When He started something in you, when He brought you into His family, into His kingdom, into the body, when He brought you in, He started a process in you. A process of growth, a process of victory, a process of power, a process of, you know, changing and becoming more and more like Christ every day. Walking in godly authority, walking under authority, and then walking in that authority. All the while knowing that God's got our back. God will be there to see us through. Now, when God starts to move in your life, and every time when we're a new Christian, this happens, He starts to move in our life, and before you know it, something pops up, and it's the devil will try to throw you off track. He's a schemer. He's a plotter. He's a conniver. He's crafty. He's smart. And so, but he actually, when he sees somebody starting to move in Christ and begin to act in the power and the authority of God, he starts to panic a little bit. I can't have this guy, I can't have this woman doing that. I can't have them get out there saving people. I can't have them out there promoting and honoring God in public. I can't allow that. And so he tries to scare us off with paper giants. Now, Goliath was a real giant. But the devil tries to scare us with paper giants. He starts throwing fear and doubt and discouragement. Little things happen. He blows it up into something big. He has somebody come along and say something and he tries to beat us down through those words. He tries anything he can to get his hands on you to try to stop you. He starts throwing things at you. Remember those cartoons where, you know, somebody'd be coming after the Roadrunner or somebody or Bugs Bunny or whoever it was, and they'd throw everything out the window on top of them, and then they'd always end up throwing out the kitchen sink, you know, sort of as a joke. That's how the devil is. He tries to throw whatever he can at you to stop you. So we have to be prepared. We have to know that these things are going to come at us, but they're, in a sense, they're not real. They're not, things happen, but they're not strong enough to stop us. They're working in our mind to tell us it's not going to work, to discourage us, to defeat us, is what he's trying to do. And so he wants to destroy your confidence that God is there. He wants you to get to think, well, maybe God doesn't want me to do this. Maybe God doesn't want me to build his kingdom. Maybe God doesn't want me to speak out. We wouldn't think of it like that, but we take that situation. Well, maybe he doesn't want me to talk to her or talk to him or get involved here or help that person. Oh, every time I help somebody, something bad happens. I'm not going to help anybody anymore. I go out there to help them, I get a flat tire. God, he just doesn't want me to do that. And I say paper giants. I call them paper giants because they really are, they're like empty threats. Because he doesn't have authority over you. The devil does not have authority over you. We don't have to accept those things as long as we keep our confidence in God. God's word tells us in James 4:7 that if we submit ourselves then to God and resist the devil, he will flee from you. Now, that's God's word. This is not just my opinion, not somebody else's opinion. This wasn't James's opinion. This comes from God. And God is saying that when we submit ourselves to him, when we're doing God's will, when we are in Christ, loving Christ, being obedient to Christ, doing his will, and the devil comes along, we resist him, he has to flee. He has to leave. Because God's word has already directed him. And God's word is more powerful than the devil. You've got to remember that. God wants to assure us that he goes out ahead of us to fight for us. And what enemy can stand up against our God? Nobody can. No army, no nation, no philosophy, no book, no devil, no angels, no demons, no nothing. Nobody can stand against God and win. In Deuteronomy 9, I like this scripture here. It says, "Hear, O Israel," verse 1, "Hear, O Israel, you are now about to cross the Jordan to go in and just dispossess nations greater and stronger than you." Now see, take this into our life. Hear, O Downriver Christian Community Church. Hear, O Ricardo. Hear, O Elma. Hear, Fred. Hear, Betty. You are about to go into this situation and face things that are stronger than you would expect you could ever beat. Same thing. That's what he's saying. With large cities that have walls up to the sky. The people are strong and tall. The Anakites. You know about them. You've heard it said, who can stand up to the Anakites? I hear that and I start thinking, well, maybe Luke Skywalker and the Jedi Knights. Wasn't there Anakites in there or something like that or someone like that? But be assured today that the Lord your God, the one who goes out ahead of you like a devouring fire, he will destroy them. He will subdue them before you, and you then will drive them out and annihilate them quickly as the Lord has promised you. This is the way God works. What he's trying to tell us in his word, this is a principle of God. It's a biblical principle, a godly principle, that when we have put our trust in God, when we are walking in his will and being obedient to him, and we're moving out and we're going somewhere, that God goes before us and makes a way where there is no way. That he will be there to annihilate our enemies and our problems. But we have to walk out there in confidence. We still have to do our part. We have to go out and do the things that we're supposed to do all the time, trusting in God. God has just as much power today as he did back then, doesn't he? You think he has less power? He doesn't have any more either. He's all powerful. He's been all powerful, always. He doesn't need any more because he is already all powerful. And he's telling us that we can overcome our giants, whatever problems we're facing in our life, because with God, all things are possible. That's not just some nice little trite little saying. When God says that in his word, he actually means that. With God, all things are possible. God wants us to be confident in him, to become that person who, you know, can put our confidence in him, so that we can trust him. Have faith in him. I think Dan read it in Hebrews. To have faith is confidence. The first thing we need to do is realize that God's power is more than adequate for any human need that we might ever face. In Ephesians 3:20, it says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine." So we're asking God to help us in this situation. Now this scripture comes right in here and it says that God is able to do immeasurably more than what you need. You can't even measure how much more he could do for you in whatever situation. More than we can ask, more than we can even imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory, though. We have to give glory to God. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. All generations. That includes us. We're one of those generations. That means us. There's no problem. No problem that anyone in here, any one of you, me, any of us can face that we couldn't go to God with, and that he can help us get through that problem. Deal with it. Luke 1:37, for nothing is impossible with God. We still think, though, that my husband's never going to change. That's a lie. My wife, she's never going to be there for me. She's never going to, you know, she's never going to change. She's never going to be a part of what God's calling me to do. That's a lie. I'll never get over this fear inside of me. That's a lie. I'll never get over this problem, this addiction, this discouragement, this depression, whatever it is. Those are all lies. To say that we can never, whenever we say we can never, we can't say never. That's a dangerous thing to say to God. God, I'll never do that. We put it's almost like we're challenging God. And oftentimes we find it easier to believe for somebody else. You know, we pray for somebody else. We give them courage and strength. We pray for this. We pray for healing. We pray for this. But we're afraid to do it for ourselves. But Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. When we really believe in Scripture, and especially that Scripture, it influences our thinking and helps us to, you know, to confront those issues in our life and do it with confidence, trusting in God. There's always got to be a way. We just have to have this mindset that says there's got to be a way. There has to be a way. I just got to see, what is God doing here? What is God trying to work in me? What is God trying to tell me? What is God, you know, what is God trying to do here? Because sometimes it's our problem, the way we're thinking, the way we're looking at the situation. A lot of times we just have to amend our thinking. The next thing we need to do to be able to walk with confidence in God is get a real understanding of his love for us. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, We know that one. Isaiah 54:10. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken. That's pretty strong. Or Romans 8:37. In all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He's trying to pretty much be all-inclusive here, that his love is there for us. And we got to get hold of that love. He's got this perfect, perfect love for us, better than anything we have ever known, better than anything we could ever ask or imagine. And this perfect love that God works in us casts out fear. It tells us that in his word. Perfect love casts out fear. And without fear, we can walk in confidence. Next, we need to be confident that God is actually working in our life. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. He wants us to be confident that whatever he began in you, he's going to work it out and finish it. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. There's another one where God is working in you. We need to know that God is constantly working inside of us. Ephesians 3:20 talks about his power that's at work within us. We just read that scripture. We may not recognize it, but God is definitely at work in our lives. This is the part that's really, I think it's really cool, is, you know, we think we have to reform ourselves. We have to change this. We have to change that. We have to do this. Now, we do have our part. We do. We get strengthened by God to do that. But we have to remember that we belong to God. We're his. He purchased us. He redeemed us. He owns us. We've submitted ourselves to him, so we belong to him. If we belong to him, don't you think he's taken an interest in working in us? When you own a house, who takes care of it? A house doesn't take care of itself. You take care of it. God is working in our lives. He's working to change us, to grow us, to help us to learn and understand and persevere. We have to step out and do the things he's bringing us to do, knowing, being confident that he is right there working in us. That's a very great thing to know, to trust in God. You know, sometimes you might be afraid to step out and do something. Say, just for instance, say to teach. You know, maybe, you know, they asked you to teach in one of the classes or teach at the women's meeting or a men's meeting or whatever. I can't do that. Well, let me ask you a question. Can you trust God in you to do that? Can you trust God in you to get up and teach, to get up here and sing? Can you trust God in you to go speak to that person who needs to hear about Jesus? He just needs a willing servant. Who shall I send? Send me, Lord. Send me, Lord. That's what he wants to hear. We may not see our growth because sometimes it's really gradual. You ever notice when you see somebody's kids that you knew them when they were 3 or 4 or 5 and then they, all of a sudden they show up 5, 6, 7 years later and you go, man, who are you? Sometimes you don't even recognize them. But if you ask them, well, I haven't really changed much. I've just grown 2 feet. I got a beard now. I mean, I got a job. I got a deep voice. See, we don't see the change in ourselves because we're with ourselves every day. But we're being changed. We are being changed as we are working towards, as we are, you know, we are in this process of sanctification, of changing, day after becoming more and more like God. We have to do our part, yes, but we are just working along with God, who is the changer, the author, the finisher, the mover, the shaker. He's the one that's doing it. When we recognize that, in fact, that we're growing and that God really is working in us, that gives us confidence. God is changing me. It's not just up to me because I can't do it. My flesh is not going to make my flesh better. My flesh would rather have me go home, sit in the chair, or lay in a bed, or eat all day long, or go out and just have fun. That's what my flesh wants. Isn't that what your flesh wants? Just to take it easy and have no responsibilities. That's what our flesh wants, to be pampered. But then there's something in us that's compelling us. Paul says, I was compelled by the Spirit of God. And that Spirit within us that is compelling us, that's God working in us. How do you think you got saved? That was God. We didn't get saved. God sent His Holy Spirit to convict us. The Spirit, you know, moved upon us, and we just did what God brought us up to do. Another thing we need to do is to remember that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, according to Hebrews 13:8. If He helped us in the past, don't you think He'll help us now? If we know that He helped other people in the past, we can read all kinds of stories about it in the Bible. We can hear all kinds of things about it all the time. If we know that God is working yesterday, or in him or in her, why wouldn't He work in me? God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. That's for always. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. That's for always. I'll be your rock, your high tower, your refuge, your fortress. That's for always. God is telling us that He is here for us. He is. He's here for us. He's always been here. He always was, always is, and always will be. He will never abandon us. Looking back at those past victories, remember David when he was beaten up, ready to give up, and all his soldiers and men, they were about ready to kill him. He was like in a bad place, and he went and he prayed and he remembered what God had done in his life. We need to remember the things that God's done in our life. Starting right off, first of all, with salvation. If nothing else ever happened, that's enough. If nothing else ever happened in your life that you could attribute to God, which would be absolutely impossible, and you could just figure out salvation, I'd have to say your view must be very narrow then. But even if you just saw that, that enough is alone to be joyful. Remember, Jesus has our back. We can step out with confidence. If we persevere, that's another thing we need to do. We need to persevere. In Hebrews 10:35, it says, so do not throw away your confidence. Do not throw away that confidence. Don't give up on that confidence, because it will be richly rewarded. I love that. Your confidence in God, when you trust in Him to do things, you will be richly rewarded. God's riches, good stuff. You need to persevere, it says, so that when you have done the will of God, see, it always has to be in the will of God for this to work, you will receive what He has promised. God knows that when we are confident in Him, when we are confident in His working in us and through us, that good things are going to happen. And that when we have that confidence, we're going to be able to start stepping out and moving out for God. And then we're going to find ourselves in all kinds of situations where God can use us. And if we have that confidence, every time God says, who can I send? You'll be able to say, send me, Lord, send me. I'm ready. And that's when we start to really move forward. We start to press in and press on. That's where we begin to defeat our giants. Those things that have held us back. To turn back the enemy also. To see him flee. God wants every one of us to be that giant killer like the apple of his eye was David. He wants us to go forward with a confident expectation. To know it. To know it deep down inside of us that he's there. That he's with us. That he's working for us. That he's working in us. That our God is all powerful and that he's fighting for you. And that you have the victory already sewn up in Christ. Because God's already set it in motion. How can you lose in a situation like that? We can't lose in Christ. I mean, some things that don't really matter, yeah, this may happen, that may happen, but see, we have to get over those things. We got to quit crying over spilled milk, over this breaking, that falling apart, this thing, that happening. Did you spill some milk this morning, Bob? Did you spill some milk this morning? I'm just joking. I'm just joking. Did anything negative happen to you this past week? Anything at all that maybe was absent? Are you crying about it today? Yeah, I mean, what, Donna, what happened to you last May 6th? You remember something bad happened to you that day? Remember that? No, you don't, do you? You remember, Kurt, 2 years ago, that day when that happened, that something happened to you? No, we don't remember. Why should we remember those things? They're done. They're over with. They're gone. And yet we're still walking in the Lord. That's what counts. Psalm 27:13, I remain confident of this, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen. That's something to be confident in, ain't it? Or how about this? Jeremiah 17:7. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. You want to be blessed? You guys want to, who wants to be blessed? You want to be blessed? I do. I want every blessing that I can get. Well, I have to put my confidence in God then. That God will see me through. Put your trust, put your confidence in God. One more scripture. This is a bonus one. I'm actually done, but I had this one. It says, Hebrews 4:16, let us approach God's throne of grace. How? Do you know how? With confidence. What is grace? Grace is when we get something we don't deserve. That's what grace is. Mercy is when we don't get what we do deserve. Grace is when we get what we don't deserve. We don't deserve a whole lot. But we get to approach God's throne of grace, his gift throne, his blessing throne, with confidence, so that we may receive, there's the mercy, and find grace. So we get forgiveness and we get blessings to help us in our time of need. And we can approach that throne with confidence. Can I have the prayer team come forward? I hope I've given you some confidence that your God is for you. That he's working in your life. That he loves you. That he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's no respecter of persons. He has your back. Our victory is in him. Be confident of that. Be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you is carrying it on, will carry it on to completion. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you so much for all the wonderful things that you've done for all these wonderful people here, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for this body of believers and for all who would hear this message. Lord, I pray that you would instill in us, fill us, Lord God, fill us up with a confidence in you. Lord, help us to walk in confidence every day, to be confident that you are always with us, that you're working in us, that you're changing in us, that you're causing us to grow, that you love us. Fill us up, Lord God, with confidence to trust in you, to have faith in you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen. You got prayer here for anything whatsoever? Please come on up. Use these guys. They want to pray for you. Don't ever feel hesitant to come up and get prayer. Something big, something small. Anything at all.